Welcome to Menopause, Marriage and Motherhood, a podcast about that time of life that tends to take us all by surprise. I'm your host, Karen O'Connor. Let's get right into it.
How are you?
Sorry. I'm getting better every day, which is good.
So, how long has it been now?
So I got the positive diagnosis on the 2nd of October.
So it's a calendar month, basically.
Yeah. And the first 2-3 days, I wasn't too bad. And then it was weird. I just went off a cliff. And it was like somebody had a rag in my mouth. Couldn't breathe. And then a friend of mine, who's my doctor, he prescribed me some steroids. And I thought, you know, you think of steroids as being the, you just don't go near steroids. It's like strong stuff. And it was like somebody had removed this rag out of my mouth when I took them. It was weird. But it only lasted for about 6 hours. It was 6 tablets. I had to take these 6 tablets every morning. And then it would last for about 6 hours. And then somebody put the rag back in your mouth. Strange. Weird thing. But the light in here isn't fantastic.
It's fine.
Are you sure?
Yeah. You're fine.
Right. So what we're doing, how we're doing this?
I just want to have a conversation about it because, you know, we were saying the other day when about a week before you actually got diagnosed, we were going, oh, we should just, you know, open the borders, just let everybody get on with it. And, you know, if you get sick, you get sick. It's not that bad anymore. And then you got it. You got diagnosed with it and you messaged me and said, I've got COVID. Let's do a podcast about my experience with COVID. And then the next thing, you couldn't even talk like an entire...
I couldn't even breathe to talk. I couldn't get halfway through a sentence without somebody extracting all the air out of my lungs. So I just couldn't get words out. It was weird.
So I'd sent out an email and put up posts going, right, we're going to have this conversation about having COVID and what it's like and everything. And then it's like, oh, no, apparently we're not.
Yeah.
And then Joe said to me, no, we're not actually telling anybody. I'm like, oops.
It was a really weird sort of time that we wanted to keep everything. We didn't want to alarm the neighbours. So we decided we were just going to self-isolate. You know, everything would be all right. We'll watch a bit of telly for a couple of weeks and one thing and another. Oh, my God. What a mistake. I've been in hospital a couple of times over the years with, you know, different bits and bats. Never have I been so ill in all my life. And the real frustrating thing for me is I think we're all on social media these days, but seeing people post these fake news things about COVID and one thing and another now incenses me. And, you know, I've gone through my friends lists. As you know, I've got a lot of sort of friends. I have a big network on social media. It's been like shooting fish in a barrel. Getting rid of people because it just incenses me that people are so blasé and so naive to think that this isn't real.
You know that thing at first where they were saying that the people who've got COVID, they're actually being paid by the government.
Yeah.
So they've got COVID. It's like, what?
Yeah.
What?
I can promise you, I will show you my bank accounts. I have not been paid a single penny to feel this bad. I am, what is it now? So I was diagnosed on the 2nd of October. and it is today is Halloween. Okay, so I'm a month in. I'm a full month in. I can honestly say that today is the first day that I've got up, and I'm still got little bits of coughs and one thing and another, but I can actually breathe. That's a month in. And you know, at the hospital, I've been in the hospital 2-3 times. The hospital, they were turning around and saying, you know, you can be 6 weeks, you can be 12 weeks before you're anything like what you used to be. And it's frightening. It's absolutely terrifying. It really is. And we've just been put, I don't know if you've heard the news yet, we're going back into lockdown in the UK because of this. Mm-hmm. So, and when you look at the graphs of where the problem areas are, it's absolutely 16 to 26 year olds that's the issue.
Is it?
Yeah. So this is colleges, this is universities, and this is people going out, socializing, partying, and just blatant disregard for the rules, really, you know, the regulations that have been put in place to protect everybody.
But it's like, for me, it's not about me myself. It's about, you know, if I've got it, I don't want to pass it on to anybody else, because you don't know who is vulnerable, you don't even know who it's going to impact badly. You've really got no idea. You can't say, I mean, in your household, you got it and Bethany got it, didn't she?
Yeah, one of the twins. Yeah. Now, she, you know, she's 25-year-old. She's very, very fit, keeps herself well. And she had probably 2 days of symptoms where she was struggling with the breath, where she was coughing, where she had the temperature. And she woke up on the third day and it had all gone. Everything had gone. You know, today, I'm a month down the road before I got to that point. And the frustrating thing for me is, you know, we're getting people that have got this blatant disregard. I haven't seen my dad. I'm not seeing him for 5 weeks, 6 weeks. Now, don't get me wrong, I speak to him every day. But, you know, I've not seen him for that length of time because, you know, my day job dictates that I'm in front of 350, 400 people a day, and I'm coming in contact with these people, you know, and it's all right wearing face masks and it's all right wearing visors and things like that. It still got me. It got me. And my concern is if it's going to put me in that position of not being able to breathe and one thing and another, you know, a man of 82 years old, it's going to kill him. And that's my concern. Mm. And people just aren't getting it.
So where did you get it?
If I'm being brutally honest, I'm not 100% sure. It's either work. So I run a home improvement retail outlet. So I'm the branch manager of this home improvement retail outlet in the UK. So that's what I do. And it's a very hands-on job. It's not an office job. I don't sit there with my feet on the desk and typing away at a computer, browsing social media or anything like that. You know, I'm in front of 350, 400 people every single day. But I'm also a musician. And on the 1st of October, we did a gig where myself, the guitarist, the keyboard player, the sound engineer, and 2 members of the audience in a very well-controlled, socially distanced environment. And I'm talking, you know, on stage, we're all 2 meters apart. The audience, we're all, they all had the temperature check when they came through the door. You know, you couldn't order at a bar. You had to sit and order on on your iPhone and that kind of thing for drinks. Brilliant gig. But there was 6 of us at that venue came down.
So were you checked? Was your temperature checked in the band?
Yeah, we were all checked.
And you were
at that point, it was fine. It was right as rain. I was singing like a nightingale. It was weird.
Never
the following morning, I was rough. you know, as good as I could. You know, it was a great night. We all had a fantastic night. The following day, it was like we'd all been knocked out of the ballpark.
And all of you got sick at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Isn't that weird? Because I wouldn't have thought it was like immediate. You know, you've got one day where your temperature's fine, and then the next day you're as sick as.
We all came down with it at the same time.
Yeah, that was what I was thinking. Well, you know, possibly all of you had it then. I don't know if there's an incubation period. Is there an incubation period for everybody?
Yeah, well, what they're doing in the UK is they're saying it's 2 weeks. So anybody that came into contact with me had to isolate for 2 weeks. If you had the if you got confirmed positive, you had to isolate for 10 days because you've got that 4 days that it would take to sort of manifest.
Right. So how many people at work have caught it?
Off me? None. Nobody.
So were there people off sick before then? Are you the only one? Isn't that weird?
Yeah. Yeah. So at this moment in time, touch wood, I've had nobody else. Oh, sorry, there's one person who contracted it last week. So again, nothing to do with it because I've not been anywhere near work for a month now. Now we've had people that have had to isolate because they've shown symptoms, but they never tested positive.
Now, coming back to that, if there is a 14-day, so the test is for active virus in you, is it? I'm assuming.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Yeah, the test is not for to see whether you've had it in the past. It's right. Just to see whether you've had it at that point. Now, ironically enough, what happened was after about 3 weeks, I developed a pain in my leg. Didn't know what it was. The pain stayed there for 3 or 4 days. I thought, at first I thought I'd strained my calf. Joanne, my wife, she had purchased last Christmas one of these circulation machines for me. I'm not the most active person on the planet, as you well know. So we've got this circulation machine on my feet and with these electrodes attached to my legs, and what it does is when you turn it on, it's like a TENS machine. It sends a signal through your muscles and contracts your muscles, I suppose. So we've got this thing on full belt because I'm a man, yeah? And then the day after, of course, you wake up and your legs are on fire. You're thinking, oh my God, that's killed me. 4 days later, I ended up at hospital because the pain just wasn't going away. And they said, oh, well, you might have a DVT. We need to test you for a DVT here. But the problem is, because you got diagnosed with COVID, we can't do that test on you until we've done another test to see that you're clear now. So not Saturday just gone, the Saturday before, they retested me. And at that point, I still had the active virus in my body. I tested positive again for a second time. So that was, even though the UK government is saying 2 weeks and you're clear, 3 weeks later, I still had it.
I'm just trying to get my head around that. And why? And you know, because Bethany's not tested positive since then, has she?
No, fine. She's right as rain.
She's right as rain. But in your case, the virus is still active. It's not like it's gone and you're recovering. It's actually still active.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that normal or is that just you? Are you special?
Have you ever known me to be classed in the normal category in any way, shape, or form?
Runs in the family, doesn't it? We've got to be special, different. We're different.
Excuse me. I would suggest that if I was tested again now, I would be right. I'd be fine. I feel fine now. I've not felt fine for a long time.
Okay. So what medications, so you were on steroids for how long?
Yeah, so they put me on steroids for, about a week and a half, something like that. They also put me on an antibiotic as well. The antibiotic was not for the virus. The antibiotic was to stop a secondary infection in the lungs happening, because I suppose I was that bad. They were concerned it was going to see me off. So they give me the antibiotics to stop a secondary infection that would have caused a terminal problem.
Right. So why would you have gotten a secondary infection?
Oh, God, I'm not a doctor. I've no idea.
Right.
I haven't got a clue. Yeah. But like I said, you know, I'm sort of privileged to be very good friends with my doctor, and he was phoning me every day. Wouldn't come near me, chicken. But, you know, he was like, right, we need to do this, we need to do that. If you get any worse in the next hour, you need to phone an ambulance, you need to go in hospital. So he was really, really looking after me.
But you didn't want to go in hospital, did you?
I suppose it's a couple of things. So, you know, I've been unfortunate enough to go in hospital for different things in the past. I've been in sort of 3-4 times, I suppose, for stays. And what's happening right now in the UK is if you go in hospital, you've got nobody can go with you. You've got no visitation rights, so people can't see you. Once you're in there, you're in and you're on your own until you are discharged. And, you know, there's people that they go in and, you know, they get put on ventilators and one thing or another, and they can be in there in a coma for months on end and never see a member of the family. And you know, there's so many, you hear so many stories of people passing away without family members seeing them and having contact with them. You know, we've got a cousin in hospital right now that got took in last week. And, you know, he's in intensive care on the respirators and you know, they're actually being told that in the next 24 hours, if he doesn't improve, he's probably going to be put on a life support machine. I didn't want to be in that position. So I was just determined that if there was a way that I could get through it without going into hospital, that was what I was going to do. And that's what I did. Luckily, I didn't need it.
I hate to bring up this sad subject as well, but your other friend that died during the week, he had no warning, did he?
He had very little warning. So for anybody in the UK, Uncle Bob, Bobby Ball. So there's a massive, the heavens have just opened here. It's absolutely bouncing down outside. Cannon and Ball were some of the UK's biggest entertainers. And I know Bobby, I sort of worked alongside Cannon and Ball for many years. Bob was a good friend. In the last couple of years, he's developed COPD, which is a respiratory disease. And 2 weeks ago, he picked the virus up. And a couple of days ago, unfortunately, he passed away. And it's just, I can't even talk about it. It's just devastating. Absolutely devastating, you know. And you know, these people, a legend, he's passed away with nobody by his side. And he's entertained millions of people for so many years. And it's not a way to go. I can't even talk about it. Sorry.
No, that's okay. So one of the interesting things that I found, like the big thing over here, Queensland has closed its borders to basically everyone in New South Wales and Victoria. Like, you're not coming in because you've had the virus.
Yeah.
And the big, what do you call it? The big criteria for whether the border will open or not is they have to have New South Wales, Victoria, they're not even talking about Victoria yet, but New South Wales has to have 28 days without any community transmission. So without any unknown cause cases, You know, if somebody gets it and they can't trace where it is, then it goes back to day one again and you start counting your 28 days from then. So there's been three cases, but they've just said that anyone apart from, I think it's 34 local government areas in Sydney, the rest of New South Wales can come up here because there's been no cases. It's just in Sydney. So they're really strict here on tracing it. But, you know, let's be fair. We've had, I can't even remember the number, but in Queensland, it's a few hundred. We haven't even had 1,000 cases. And most of those were incoming travellers. So there's been very, very little community transmission, you know?
Yeah.
So we've got apps on our phone. They jump on top of it. You know, they want to know who you've been seeing. They make everybody go into isolation. They didn't even contact you, did they?
No. Nothing. I had no contact for probably the first week. I had nothing. But then what happened was, of course, Bethany tested positive, and Bethany had to give details of who she'd been in contact with. Everybody's phone in the family then started to ring off the hook. It was ridiculous. We were receiving 2, 3, 4 phone calls a day, plus text messages, plus emails saying about isolation, you need to do this, you need to do that. I didn't receive a one from me, and I was positive.
And why do you
think the interesting case? I don't know whether I just slipped through the net or not. I genuinely don't know the answer to it. Just to go back a little bit on something you were saying about the amount of cases that you've had over in the state that you're in. Was it you don't think you've had 1,000 cases yet? Is that what you said?
I don't think so. Not in Queensland. I'll just Google it while you're talking. Hang on.
Okay. So for the last 2 days, our positive infections have increased. On the first day before yesterday was 500, and yesterday was 600.
Wow.
That's in 2 days. So in 2 days, we've equaled what you've had through the whole of this.
So Queensland's had a total of 1,172 cases and 6 deaths.
Wow. 6 deaths. I know 6 people that have died.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
We've had 27,500 cases altogether, of which 20,000 are in Victoria.
All in one state?
Yep. Yeah, that's why Victoria shut down. And we've had 907 deaths, of which 819 were in Victoria.
So, you know, I mean, I know the answer to this, but when all this sort of first started off, after the first month or so, and, you know, did you find yourself getting a little bit blasé about the virus yourself?
No, and the reason being, at the time, I'd just come out of hospital, if you remember. So yeah. I was in hospital at the beginning of March when it all started to become a bit of, you know, the alarm was coming up. And I was actually worried when I was in hospital because I'm like, because they were starting to isolate people then, and I'm thinking, are they going to be bringing people into this hospital? Do I need to go out early, you know? So I had to isolate because at the time I was one of those people that was at risk because, you know, I'd had this big operation. So,
yeah.
And I couldn't go out. And then we got in lockdown. Keely had to come home from school. Kira came up for a couple of weeks and has regretted going back down to Victoria because she's been in lockdown since she got back down there at the beginning of April. They got out of lockdown on Wednesday, last Wednesday, and she's had a birthday party every night, which she's really impressed about. But she's just about to come up to her final assessments at university. So she's having a panic attack on one hand, but she can't wait to see her friends on the other. So So we were in lockdown then. I can't remember when we came out of lockdown in Queensland. I think we were in lockdown for about 6 weeks. maybe 6 weeks, something like that.
What does it actually consist of over there, though? What does lockdown, what does it look like?
Lockdown for us meant that there was only, so the pubs and clubs, restaurants, cafes, they all closed. Hairdressers stayed open. There was some...
So where somebody has to actually touch you?
Somebody has to actually touch you. They had a mask on, so they wouldn't. They closed all the nail salons, beauty salons, but hairdressers was okay. But the government, think balding middle-aged men, came up with this rule that you could only, maximum appointment was 30 minutes. And every woman in the country's going, you need to go, just get them to talk to their wives. That was changed about, because, and what people were doing was just making four appointments, running out the door and then coming back in for their next appointment, you know? But it was just like the, you know, grocery stores and that kind of thing were, and bottle shops were open, off licenses.
Very important. Yeah. Very important. Yeah.
Crucial. Yeah. I totally understand crucial. That.
One of the things that I don't understand about sort of what's going on over here at the moment with lockdown is they've turned around and said, so we're going to keep all the schools open, any essential businesses. So my place is going to stay open because, you know, if you need a plumber or an electrician, they've got to come and get the parts from me anyway. But the education establishments are staying open. Yet the main problem that we are having in the UK comes from the 16 to 29 year olds, like I said earlier, which includes high schools, secondary schools, colleges, universities, and then, you know, we keep seeing these illegal parties, discos, raids, and one thing another. That is what is causing the problem. Yet they're turning around and saying that these education establishments can stay open. It's absolutely bonkers. Shut them down, lock them down for a month, and you will see the R rate, the infection rate, drop through the floor. Simple.
They closed everything here, everything, including the schools. So in Victoria, the schools have only just gone back. So people have had their kids home, bless them, for 4 months. Because Victoria's the world's longest lockdown. I don't know whether, I know you're aware of that, but I don't know whether other people are.
Yeah.
And it was full shutdown. Now, talking to my sister-in-law who owns daycare centres, and daycare centres were never closed. They were kept open.
Yeah.
But she said something that's not well known and it's not put out in the media is that when kids get it, and I'm talking about younger kids here, you know, probably under teenage, they actually just get a bit of a cold and they're fine. And if you catch it off a kid, you actually get a mild version of it for the most part and you're okay. And that's one of the reasons why the junior schools went back first in Queensland, New South Wales, and daycare centres stayed open. That was the reason, because kids tend not to get sick with it, and when you get it off a kid, you tend not to be as sick as you would have been, and they don't know why. But they closed, they got the year 12s back first, along with the young kids, because obviously they've got their HSC, they've got their final exams this year. So they got the year 12s back and they were social distancing and everything. But universities didn't go back. Kira's done her entire year online and she's doing photography. It's quite tricky because she hasn't been able to go out the house to do any photographs.
I mean, without sort of throwing Karen under the bus, you're one of the lucky ones though, aren't you? Because, you know, you got four kids. Yeah. From them being what, 3-year-old, you've just sent them away to boarding school. So you've never had any kids at home. Could you imagine if your kids lived under the same roof as what you do for the last, what is it now, 6 months at least? You'd have been climbing the walls. You'd have been committing murder.
Yeah, I would. I would. I couldn't have coped with it. I know a few people that have had five kids at home for this entire thing down in Melbourne, you know, and it's just like, wow, you know, hats off
to you. And John, John would have just found an excuse to go and work from Sydney.
Yeah, he would.
He'd have been off.
Yeah, he would.
Yeah. See you later.
He was really gutted, actually, when we were in lockdown, because one of the things that was locked down was the national parks. Couldn't go in any of the national parks. Couldn't go walking, yeah. Like, because you can catch the virus when you're out in the middle of nowhere, right? And you couldn't go camping. He was really gutted because he couldn't go camping. He just wanted to get away.
When the whole lockdown thing started, my dad, as you well know, is ridiculously active and does a lot of walking, running, hiking, you name it, he does it. And everyone was told, oh, you get an hour a day. My dad was disappearing for 4, 6, 8 hours a day. We're surrounded. I live in where you grew up. It's actually quite picturesque. Part of the world, just north of Manchester, a little village called Shaw. And sort of horseshoe shape-wise around it, we've got moorland. It's beautiful. It's fantastic. And the thing that he found most frustrating was, like you just said, he was told he could go out and exercise for an hour a day. And he's saying, look, if I'm on the moors, top of the moors, you know, Wuthering Heights and all that, there's nobody within a mile, 2, 3 miles of me. What effect am I having on anybody in any way, shape or form? And he was absolutely bang on right. You know, I don't agree with a lot of the things that he says. I agree with a lot of stuff he says, but a lot of stuff I don't. But he was bang on the money. If he's in the middle of the moors and he's getting fresh air in his lungs, it's probably the best thing for him. I'm sure we're the same with John. You know, if they lock the parks down, what good is that? Who are you going to come into contact with? Nobody. Stupid. I've just spotted something, actually, and it's sort of going backwards again a little bit. You know, I said about I picked up a DVT. Did I mention this before? I think I did.
Yeah, you did. You said, oh, yeah. Well, and we need to talk about that, what's happening. So, yeah, go on, carry on.
So what I was going to say was, part of the problem with the virus is it congeals the blood. It makes the blood clot. And I picked up a DVT on the back of it. One of the things I've got to do now is for the next 3 months, I'm on medication to thin my blood. Firstly, to make the clot disappear, which today is the first day that I've managed to not get up and take a load of painkillers for the, how I describe it, is toothache in my calf. It's been ridiculous. So that's good. But I've got these medications. I've got this medication now for the next 3 months at least. And what I've got to do is I've got to carry this card with me everywhere I go. This is how good I am, Karen. I've not actually filled it in yet. But this card is basically, if anything happens to me, if I knock myself at work and I bleed, or if I'm not, you know, collapse or whatever it is, this is for the paramedics and the doctors to tell them what medication that I'm on, because apparently they ain't going to stop the bleeding because of these tablets. It thins the blood that much. And that's part of the problem with the virus. It's congealing the blood and it's making the blood clot. So people that aren't the fittest, it's giving them heart attacks, it's giving them pulmonary problems, it's giving them strokes.
Yeah,
all sorts. So that's another thing about the virus, you know, with the kids and one thing another, they can deal with it. As you're getting older, you know, somebody who's 50 or, you know, one thing and another, we ain't dealing with it anything like as good as what you were 20 years ago. So, you know, this is the kind of stuff we're having to put up with. Not good.
So, and just going back to when you went into hospital for the blood clot, they gave you another test to find out whether you were positive before they'd give you a scan. And it came back positive, but they still gave you the scan.
They did, right. So at the hospital near where I live, they have a department that deals with deep vein thrombosis, a DVT. What they couldn't do was allow me into that department because of the patients that were there that didn't have the virus. So they had to set up, they had to deep clean a room in the accident and emergency at the Royal Oldham Hospital and set up a scanner in this room. And I had to turn up at a certain time at the hospital for them to walk me straight in to do the scan, to give me the result, to give me the medication, and to get me out. Now, how much does that cost, you know, for one virus? But if we all got injected with bleach...
Don't get me started.
Dear God. You know he's going to get elected again, don't you? Fake news.
Oh dear, I don't even want to go there.
No.
So what else have the doctors said with regards to your recovery? What are the potential other issues that can come up? How long are you going to be off work? Because you've been off work for 5 weeks now, haven't you?
You know what I'm like, don't you? I hate being off work. It drives me insane. I hold 3 jobs down, right? Not because I need to, but because I just...
Can't sit still for 5 minutes.
Yeah, I have to be out doing something, you know?
But you drive me nuts, aren't you?
I mean, I work for these guys, right, which is Sail Sharks, and Sail Sharks are the Premiership rugby club, right? We should have won the season this year, but we had to forfeit again because of COVID. We had 13 players all contract the virus on the same day. And I've not been down here since March. I've had to stay away since March. It's killing me. Honestly. So I've been off work for 5 weeks. Right. So let's get back to your question. I've been off work for 5 weeks. I was hoping to be back in work next week. It's not going to happen. So my quack said a couple of days ago, we was talking and he said to me, so I'm going to write you a sick note and I'm going, I don't want one. And he's saying, you're having one. He said, and I'm quite happy to write you a sick note now till Christmas. Yeah. And I said, it's not happening, mate. And he started to tell me, he told me a story about him having a, he said, I know you like me in respect of if you're half fit for work, you will be there, which I am. That is the kind of person that I am. And he said that he had a hernia problem and had the operation. And he was back in work 3 weeks later. And he was told it'd be 6 weeks. He was back in after 3 weeks. And he suffered for a year afterwards because he went back early. He said, I'm going to write you a sick note now again. So this was last week. He said, for at least another 4 weeks. He said, now we'll review it at that point. He said, and you're not going to go back in. We're not going to cut it short. He said, because you have got absolutely no idea how much you have been through and how much your body needs to recover. So I know that I'm off. I've not actually told my gaffer yet, but I know I'm off for at least another 4 weeks. And in fairness, that's also the thrombosis, the DVT. That's not just COVID. But he was quite happy at that point to write me a sick note, a fit note, they call it in the UK, until Christmas.
So maybe your measure could be whether you could sing an entire song without falling in a heap.
Karen, I couldn't. This time last week, I couldn't have sung half a line without gasping for breath.
That's what I'm talking about, Al. Mm.
Yeah.
Because it's lung focused. If you actually can't sing a whole song, then you're not fit for work.
Joanne pointed something out to me yesterday, and I hadn't realised it. I mean, you know what I'm like. I am an avid musician, and I have more bass guitars than most people have dinners in a year. You know, it's, I can buy them, no problem. I just can't sell them. And yesterday, I picked up a guitar for the first time since I've had COVID. And normally there's always, if I'm at home, there's a guitar around my neck. And I picked one up yesterday for the first time. And she said, first time you've had one on there, first time you've played. That's 5 weeks. So I'm on the mend. That's cool.
Great.
The lighting in this studio today is shocking, isn't it?
It's terrible. You're going to have to fix that. That's okay. But I think we'll probably wrap it up now, Al, because I don't want to
put
it with regards to, you know, you probably think you're better than you actually are.
I actually, honestly, feel the best I've felt since I contracted the virus today.
Oh, wow. That's fantastic.
So, listen, you're in a privileged situation, right? You're in a beautiful part of the world. You look out over some amazing countryside. You've got a decent amount of land to walk around and to mow on your ride-on lawnmower and one thing and another. You need to enjoy that while you can. You need to just understand how privileged that you actually are. And you need to get all your kids on and put up with them for a while, because you don't do that, do you?
That'll be difficult.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm going to go and get some breakfast if you don't mind.
Yeah, no, that's good. Thank you so much, Al. So we might have to update this in a few weeks and see how you are and how it's traveling with everybody, because it's really bad over there, isn't it?
It is. But the thing is, until people actually get their head around it, you know, and understand that, you know, this is serious and it's not going away and it's killing people.
And even if it doesn't kill you, it's the long-term impacts as well, isn't it? Like there's long-term underlying health issues as a result of having it. Yeah.
You know, and for somebody like me, you know, that's not the healthiest person on the planet, it can affect me for the rest of my life.
So are you going to change your ways health-wise?
Do you know, this is true, right? So in the first 3 weeks of me contracting the virus, I dropped 25 pounds, which is a lot of weight.
It's about 11 kilos. And,
I don't know. I'm British. You know, it's stones and pounds to me.
I only remember because when we were little and we were going and metric was starting to be introduced, on the back of the Kellogg's packets, they had these little rhymes. And one of them was 2.25 pounds of jam weighs about a kilogram.
Really?
Yes.
Is that what you remember? Is that how you remember stuff?
Yeah. And a litre of water's a pint and 3/4.
You see, you was always a reader. You enjoy reading, don't you? I don't. So now the more interesting thing for a lot of people don't know this, but our granddad was he was one of the works managers down at Kellogg's, and Kellogg's at Trafford Park, of course, made all the cereals that gets distributed around the world, and you know, and granddad was like one of the head honchos there. So of course we got all the cereals for next to nothing, and we had everything, didn't we? We had all the multi packs and one thing and another. So you were concentrating on the stuff that was on the outside of the packet, and I was concentrating on the stuff that was on the inside of the packet. You know, genius.
I've just remembered another one as well. A metre measures 3'3". It's longer than a yard, you see. Sad. Anyway, what were you saying?
I can't remember.
No, I can't remember.
I'm gone. No. A metre measures 3'3". It's longer than a yard, you see.
Yeah, health. Yes, we were talking about kilos.
Oh, health.
Yes. 2.25 pounds of jam.
Yeah, so we're talking about, so am I going to change? I mean, 25 pounds is an awful lot to lose. And the thing is now is, funnily enough, it was, oh God, this is going to sound so far up my own ass. So I was in the hot tub last night outside. Can I just say that My house is nothing like Karen's. Yeah. My house actually shares a roof with next door's. Karen's doesn't. All right. So that comes from Jamie about 20 years ago. Right? Jamie's one of Karen's sons. It's another story. But we sat in the hot tub outside and we was talking about the weight loss. And Joanne turned around to me and said, so we need to do something about this and we need to continue this, don't we? And I'm going, yeah. And I always try and sort of dismiss it. I weren't getting away from it last night. So apparently we're putting together, through lockdown, we're putting together some kind of plan to continue this and sort of improve on health-wise. Because when I get my head in it, you know, I can swim like a fish. I do enjoy walks. I'm not a runner or anything like that. But last week we went for, I think it was Friday. What day are we on today? Sunday. So Friday we went for a walk around the block. And, you know, it's not far. It's probably a quarter of a mile, half a mile, something like that. It's not far at all. And we're on a slight hill, but it's nothing spectacular. And I struggled to get home. And that's the lungs through the COVID. So what we're going to try and do is do that and a little bit more every day over the next month. So hopefully in 4 weeks' time, I'm going to be running up mountains again. We will see. Watch this space.
Right, I'm going to go, kid.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Yeah, love you too. Let's talk again soon. Oh, can you just sometime today send me a bit of PR blurb about yourself from my page?
What do you want me to say?
I don't know.
Can't you just do it?
Well, I've done some, but I don't know what you've done.
A bloke from Shaw. I think that's what it actually says on my Facebook and Twitter. You know where you got to put a little bit about yourself? I'm sure mine just says a bloke from Shaw. Jesus, what do you put?
Just tell me a little bit about, you know, your, I don't know, your radio, your bass playing, your and Sail Shark stuff, whatever else you've done.
TV,
yeah,
radio.
All that kind of thing, because I don't know. I don't know.
Do you know what came out the other day, and I've not seen it for years? Do you remember when Bobby Ball was in the jungle?
No,
Bobby Ball's in the jungle, and I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, and we used to have a programme.
It's not the jungle. It's just up the road from here. It's the Australian bush.
What are you shouting at me for?
Springbrook National Park.
And we had this program that was on after I'm a Celebrity called I'm a Celebrity Jungle Drums. And it was like, a panel and an audience. And I ended up on the panel for this one particular show that as Bobby came out of the jungle.
Did you?
And yeah. Did you not know that?
No.
Yeah. It's got to be on YouTube somewhere. We had it on video. Because what happened was they got me down there. They sort of like trained me down and then got me a chauffeur to take me to the studios and one thing or another. And it was me, Toya Wilcox.
Oh, okay.
And Toya was like, she was like my teen crush. John McCririck. Now, John McCririck was the Tic Tac Man, you know, the weirdo bloke. I don't know if you remember him. And Lee Sharp, who's a Man United footballer. And we sat in the green room just before. And I always sit, if I'm sat on the settee, I'll sit at one side with my arm over the back of the settee and one leg sort of tucked underneath the other. And Ty Wilcox walks in, says hello, and sits here. And I'm like, shit. What am I doing with this arm? And she was just looking at me and talking to me. And I'm like, and she's tiny. She's so small. It's ridiculous. So we go to the studio and all the audience is there. And you sit down and one thing another. as you're walking in, they're giving you a name badge and, you know, you don't take any notice. And you've had all your makeup done and, oh, it's great. And then halfway through the show, the phone rings and the guy that's sort of hosting it off, oh, what's that? So the answer's this phone, and it's Rob Harper, Bobby's son. He's a good mate, Rob. We used to go to college together and one thing another. And I mean, he's a good mate. And he says, oh, it's Rob Harper, Bobby Ball's son. And I'm like, what the fucking hell's going on here? He said, that lad there that's come down, he says, he stalked my dad for years. He said, he's not left him. He says, and then they went, what, do you mean this Big Al, this Cannon and Ball superfan? And I looked down, and it's got Big Al, Cannon and Ball superfan on this freaking badge. The bastard threw me right under the bus. And it was one of the funniest pieces of television I've seen in years. And I can't find it anywhere. So I need to look and see if it's got to be on YouTube somewhere. I'm a Celebrity, Jungle Drums, it was called. And it was my only real TV appearance. But there you go. I'll have a look for it if I find it.
Farm as well.
Pardon?
Weren't you on Emmerdale?
No, Coronation Street.
Was it?
No. Oh shit, was it called? Shameless. No, have you never had Shameless over there? About the Gallaghers. It was a TV show called Shameless that was based on this family called the Gallaghers. And they were all fucking down and outs, all claiming all money off the doll and this, that, and the other. And it was one of the funniest TV series ever. And I did that. And then ended up at Screwfix. And 4 days into being at Screwfix, got a phone call from Endemol asking me to do the whole of the last series. And I couldn't do it because I'd just started at Screwfix.
Bloody hell.
Yeah. So gutted. But it is what it is, isn't it?
Right. I'm going to go, kid. Thank you so much.
That's cool. Right. I'll speak to you during the week.